You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Thursday, January 21st, and that means we're going back to the mailbag. We did it last Thursday. We got through several of your questions, but today we're going to finish those questions. Those are all questions asked by you, the Locked On listeners, in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. If you haven't joined that yet, go to Facebook, search Locked On Steelers, ask to join the group, and I'll add you as soon as possible. We are over 1,100 Steelers fans strong. We've got a lot of questions to get to today. We'll have Jenna Harner on tomorrow going over all the updated news on the Steelers and giving you a look at the upcoming weekend with lots of NFL football to talk about. Let's get into it. So like I said, we're going to go back to where we were the last time when we were going through these questions. We're going to gradually work our way through them. You guys left a lot of good ones here. I wanted to make sure that you addressed them. So if you remember that you dropped a question in there in the mailbag, do check it out. We're giving you shout-outs. We're starting off with TJ Deckel. Apologize if I messed up your last name there, TJ. But he asks, TJ asks, what are the top three most critical positions you think that the Steelers should focus on in the draft and free agency? I think it's offensive line with the priority, and we need two, whether that's in the draft. Okay, so you think it's, so TJ says offensive line, cornerback, and running back. I think those are along the two lines. I might switch out cornerback for linebacker because I think that they need a true number two cover linebacker guy. At least Gilbert, they've hoped would develop into that. He keeps getting hurt. Robert Spillane really isn't that. He was a good stopgap guy. Like, Robert Spillane would be great in the Tyler Matakavich role. Play special teams, hustle, be the emergency guy. But he can't be your number two guy, and that's what he was this year. So they need another guy at that position. But offensive line, running back, right with you, TJ. Artie Hamblin asks, what are your thoughts on quarterback Sam Ehlinger from Texas? Think he'd be a great pick in the fourth round. I am not an Ehlinger guy. I am if they draft him, honestly, I think fifth round would be where it's acceptable. Because for me, the first two picks that you make have to be good, solid attempts. The third round pick, you know, can be a little bit more risky. The fourth round pick even more so. But once you get to the fifth round, that's where you're kind of like, okay, we're stabbing. We're like, you know, we're looking around. We're seeing who we can get lucky. Can we get, you know, get a starter, an eventual starter out of this? Can we get a good depth player out of these rounds? But in the fourth round, I'm not an eligible believer. I've seen him since he started at Texas. He makes some exciting plays in there, but he's not consistent enough. And that's my problem with Ehlinger. I'm not on that train. So I mean, in my book, the first, second, and third round picks should be addressing the offensive problems or that inside linebacker position. If you get to the fourth round and you've addressed it, your key needs, and there's no cornerbacks that are on your board or no real depth additions that intrigue you, maybe then you look at quarterback. But even then, you know, you'd probably have to weigh him against other guys that are out there. Anyways, Joseph Kelsch asks, in your opinion, what are both the best and worst case scenarios of what we are looking at next year in terms of cap casualties? So if we're talking about next year, I guess if we're talking about who's on the Steelers next year, not literally who are the cap casualties of 2022, because it's a little early to even try to guess who cap casualties will be, you know, for next season. But the people who, I guess my guess here is that, Joseph, is that you are asking who's going to be on the team next year when the season kicks off in 2021. I really think Marquise Pouncey is going to be gone. I don't think there's any way that they can keep Bud Dupree. I have a hard time seeing them keep Juju Smith-Schuster, even though Ben Roethlisberger really wants to keep him, and I do think both parties, Juju and Steelers, would want to get that done. They have to invest so much to just open up space that they can get an offensive lineman and running backs and keep the roster that they have as is. And that's where I'm struggling to find a way to keep Juju Smith-Schuster. I think Vance McDonald gets cut. I think you could see Eric Ebron in that mix, though. I don't think they want to go without any tight ends that they know, so that might save them a little bit or save him a little bit. You know, again, there might be some tough decisions in here because you know, you if you, and also there's going to be some restructurings. To me, if Ben Roethlisberger plays this year, and I've said this before, the conversation has to start and end with, Ben, you're taking less money next year against the cap. Now, again, I'm not saying that Ben's making $41.2 million in this year. No one, you know, because people jump out. He's not making $41.2 million. He's only making like 19. Listen, we understand that. But the Steelers have to do whatever they can to free up cap this season. And again, the beautiful thing is in 2022, one, the cap is going to skyrocket. The cap limit, because the NFL is going to have 17 games in the regular season next year. That's 32 more games that people are going to watch nationally. That's a lot more money. And hopefully COVID's gone, so attendance numbers go up. There's going to be a serious opening of cap space. And as it stands right now, the Steelers have $171 million of cap space going into 2022. So after this next season, that's the most in the NFL. They have a ton of space to work with. So if they wanted to extend people right now, if they wanted to say, hey, Stephon Tuitt, what if we move some of your money to 2022? And then you say the same thing to David DeCastro, Joe Hayden, Steven Nelson. You just kind of did that with Cam Hayward, you know, but do it with Ben Roethlisberger. You could make that kind of space. I mean, and this happens every year. The Steelers are good at this. Remember, going into this season, we were all wondering, where are the Steelers going to get the money? Where are the Steelers going to get the money? Whoop, they found the money. They're able to move some guys around and get some players. I think that's part of the plan here. They're gonna take actions like that for next year. But you know, they're gonna use the cap space that they've saved up to do all that. Tom Reeder asks, do you think James Pierre is Hayden's future replacement, or will we look at the draft at some point? Ooh, no, I do not think James Pierre is Hayden's future replacement. I think James Pierre has put himself in a position where they're going to look at him on special teams a little bit more, and he's going to have to battle with Justin Lane and either a draft pick or a free agent signing to be the team's fourth cornerback next year, because I'm very convinced they're going to bring back Cam Sutton. But James Pierre, he made a really nice breakup in that Browns game, but he got to do a lot more. You can't just have that, because you can see, you can get a lucky play, and you know, or play well for one play. You don't have to even be lucky. You can play really well for one play, and then it go away. So, to me, Tom, no, I don't think he's the future replacement yet. Maybe he develops into that. I'm not saying that he can't. I always like to believe in players' ability to improve, and that goes across the board. So, I'm not putting him there yet. I think if anything, the future at cornerback may be if the Steelers extend Nelson, sign Sutton, and then those two are right with Hayden, and then whenever Hayden's ready to go or retire, then the Steelers see one of those guys step into Hayden's starting role, or they draft another guy. But that's but I do think they address cornerback at the draft at some point, try again in the first round. All right, time for a quick break. When we come back, more questions from you, the listeners, in the mailbag. We got a lot in this group to go through, so don't go anywhere. Your question has not been skipped. It's not being passed up on. We will be right back with more of those. But first, a word from our sponsors at rockauto.com.
Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On, that's LOCKED, Locked On, in their How Did You Hear About Us section so that they can know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today.
And don't forget, Locked On listeners, if you want to place bets on anything sports related, you got to go to betonline.ag, because that's the only place that we trust to place our bets here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Go to betonline.ag today and you can sign up for a free account. And if you use the promo code Locked On, that's LOCKEDON, Locked On, all capital letters, all one word, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus to your first deposit. On betonline.ag, you can bet on so many different sports factors. Not only can you bet on this weekend's conference championship games with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers hosting Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, as well as Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs hosting Josh Allen and the Bills, But on top of that, you can get odds on what head coaches might land for teams like the Eagles. There's going to be a lot of different things that you can bet on, betonline.ag. But find out for yourself. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get in the action. Don't forget to use that promo code when you get to betonline.ag at the promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, Locked On, all capital letters, all one word, and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, we're back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, and it's mailbag day here on Thursday. Going back to your questions, a lot of good ones here. Let's get right back into the mix. We left off with Tom Reeder, so we go to Dietrich Delaney. Dietrich asks, do you feel the main culprit of the collapse is actually Art Rooney II? What? Dietrich, how dare you? He says, I recall his father setting tones when the team got complacent, and Art II, he doesn't seem attached to the team as his father was, and because of the look of non-involvement, seems it festered a complacent, lulled, and stagnant culture. I also believe that the mentality of coming from the owner can also have an effect on leadership in the coaching staff, scouting, and the administration, especially if no one fears any repercussions on complacency. Dietrich, this goes against how I've always, there's this argument that there's no, that the culture of the Steelers is corrupted and that they don't. Sometimes I think that that's way overplayed, man. Like the whole idea of this culture, this narrative stuff. They lost because they messed up on the field, not because of they didn't care enough, they didn't want it enough, they weren't studying enough. You know, I think that part of it's Ben. I think maybe Ben got complacent, but I mean that defense was fighting, man. They were fighting, and that was a defense down Joe Hayden, down Devin Bush, down Bud Dupree, eventually down Alex Highsmith. I mean, they were down to a guy named Cassius March, you know, trying to line up at edge rusher, and he was just getting bullied. I mean, that's not a complacency. That's a, they got rough. And again, it'd be different. It'd be different if this organization didn't make strides over the past 4 years. And I want people to really think about what this organization has gone through. Dietrich got me on a good one here, y'all. He got me on a roll. This organization, if you go back to mid-2017, when the Steelers were rocking and they were on their way to a 13-3 season, and everybody thought they were the stuff and that this was going to be the year. And then Ryan Shazier went down, their best defensive player, their biggest playmaker, the guy that held the entire defense together. And then the defense fell apart. In 2017, they lost Ryan Shazier, a superstar. In 2018, they never got to see even Le'Veon Bell. He dipped out, a superstar. In 2019, Antonio Brown, gone, superstar. And also Ben Roethlisberger, hurt, superstar. Imagine any organization going through the exodus of great players that the Steelers had in those years, and they found a way to go 12-4 after that. Mind you, they found a way to go 8-8 with a fourth-string rookie quarterback that was undrafted in Devlin Duck Hodges. That doesn't mean to me that the culture's broken. That means to me, you know, in this Browns game, they did the one thing you couldn't do. You turned the ball over too many times. And you gave the Browns the advantage that they were able to run the ball and call play action and attack the weaknesses of your defense without abandon because they weren't afraid because they had such a huge lead because you kept handing them the ball back. I don't think Art Rooney II is doing anything wrong. And you know what? It'd be different. It would be very different if this team had collapsed, actually collapsed. Because collapsing 1-5, yeah, they lost. A collapse, like a real collapse. That's the thing. I think we're spoiled here as Steeler Nation. Think about it. We're talking about a collapse in a 12-4 season. What an actual collapse is 4-12, 5-11, 3-13, having a top 10 pick. That's never happened. If you've only been watching football since the Mike Tomlin era, that's never happened. If you've only been watching in the Ben Roethlisberger era, that's never happened. The worst record that the Steelers have had is 6-10 since I've like become a serious watcher when I was a kid. Think about that. 6-10 is like, we had a rough year. We'll try to get a new player, and maybe most teams when they have 6-10, they just need to regroup and they'll come back next year, and maybe they make the playoffs. And those two 6-10 seasons that they had were under Bill Cowher. I don't think the culture's got a problem. I don't think there's a complacency. this team still knows how to fight. And they got a lot of young players that are learning how to fight. And how many times did they respond to resiliency this year? You know, I just don't see a complacency. If they were complacent, they wouldn't have beaten Baltimore in that close game when Baltimore was coming off a bye week and the Steelers didn't have a bye week. They would have folded after the bye. They would have made excuses and said, we didn't have a bye week. We can lose all these games in the middle of the season because we're tired. And they didn't do that. And I continue to push the notion that they didn't lose those games down the stretch because the entire team fell apart. Ben Roethlisberger lost focus. He was stopped seeing the field. He stopped hitting open wide receivers, and there were open wide receivers, and that was a huge part of what was making the offense go. And I think that the roster put too much investment into needing him to succeed. They need a ground game. They need an offensive line to be rejuvenated. There are legitimate weaknesses on this roster. It happens to every team. But on most rosters that are successful, they have players that can overcome those problems. That's what the Chiefs are doing with Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs ain't perfect, roster top to bottom. But Patrick Mahomes, as a quarterback, his decision-making and his arm ability get you through a lot of those problems. Antonio Brown got the Steelers through a lot of those problems for years. Ryan Shazier got the Steelers through those problems a lot of years. Le'Veon Bell got the Steelers through those problems a lot of years. I mean, if no Ryan Shazier, the Steelers lose to the Bengals in that playoff game. No Le'Veon Bell, they probably lose to the Chiefs in the 2016 playoffs. No Antonio Brown, they probably never make the playoffs. Teams are built on great players. And as much as we talk about culture and all this stuff that's off the field and we try to make it like it's some magical thing in the sky, it's not that. It's how good are you on the field? What's the talent you're putting out there? Can you beat the people? The Steelers of the 70s didn't just win because they were just tough, gritty guys that they found a way to band together at the right moment. No, they were the best doggone football team of the decade. Hall of Famers stacked on Hall of Famers. And it's rare to get talent like that, and that's why it's so special when you do. So, Dietrich, I'm mad for your question. I think it's an important question to ask so we get the conversations going like this. But, I mean, you heard Ben Roethlisberger, talking late in the season about how the Steelers were, they needed to focus and get ready for the playoffs because, how you don't get too many chances at this, and they still lost. But ultimately, I mean, Juju didn't look unprepared for the playoffs. Claypool didn't look unprepared for the playoffs. Deontay Johnson didn't look unprepared for the playoffs. A lot of those young guys, I mean, if Alex Highsmith was healthy, I think he would have been fine. The guys who looked unprepared or just more so made mistakes were the veterans, Marquise Pouncey and Ben Roethlisberger, who have seen more playoff games than anyone else on the roster. So I don't think it's a culture thing or Art Rooney II. I think it's Ben needs to not throw four interceptions in a playoff game. He doesn't do that. Wesley Euler from Steeler Nation Radio put it well when I asked him about it. He said if they take knees and just three and out each possession in the first quarter, the Steelers probably find a way to beat the Browns in that playoff game. So no, I don't think it's that. Julio Mercado asks, Spillane coming back and not necessarily being worked in hurt us a bit. Of course, there were more catastrophes taking place than just that, but why not more Allen? Not only has he played well, but it would have eliminated the Browns from motioning to empty set on crucial downs and lining up Landry on a linebacker. I can't help but think Allen stood a better shot in those circumstances. The problem with that is Allen was also getting abused on the run. And Spillane at least knew where to be on the run. Allen, not as much. And the Browns were just, every time the Steelers lined up with more defensive backs, the Browns just ran at them. And I did a Carter's Classroom at dkpittsburghsports.com on this. Not this week, but last week after the game. And I was just like, it was obvious. Everyone was like, why not put a DB in the middle of the field and just cover Jarvis Landry? It's because every time they did, they just handed the ball to Kareem Hunt, and the Browns offensive line just bullied that DB that they put in the middle of the field, which is why, again, you need a Devin Bush to help offset those type of problems. And again, this team was down to, third, fourth, fifth, sixth options. Playing linebacker, eventually you're going to have weaknesses. And I know people are like, well, you need to scheme better. It's not that easy. If it was that easy, everyone would just scheme better all the time. But you need, the old saying goes, it's not the X's and the O's, it's the Jimmy's and the Joe's. As much scheming as you want to draw, Bill Belichick, one of the greatest minds of all time, his team got smacked this year. Why? They didn't have the Jimmy's and the Joe's. and how many, and again, you know, I was talking about how Patrick Mahomes, his arm and his you know, seeing the field overcomes his roster's weaknesses. You know how many times Tom Brady did that for the Patriots? A lot. And you saw what happened the first year. Bill Belichick didn't have him around. All right. Julio, you asked a lot of questions. We're just going to skip to your last one. Trade segment. Pull off a trade in which each divisional team with each divisional. Okay, Julio, you're asking a lot of questions, man. We got to get to other people's questions. I'm sorry. We're going to do one question from you. We're going to move on to Ben Scoff. I appreciate you, Julio. You're in your tenacity in asking questions, but we got a lot to get to. Ben Scoff asks, what do you think is most likely to actually happen regarding the Steelers OC next year? And I know this is kind of Matt Canada's already been announced, the reason I brought this up is because the Steelers haven't really officially announced anything. And Dale Lally wrote about this. Jerry Dulac wrote about this. Both acknowledging this is a sign that the Steelers haven't actually picked anyone. And that they're looking for other things. Now, Dale speculates that part of this could be looking for an offensive coordinator, or not offensive, an offensive line coach, and that they want an offensive line coach that properly pairs with either Canada or someone else that they have in mind for the OC position. But they haven't decided on anything. What do I think will actually happen? I think that they're going to find an old-timey offensive line guy that knows how to get a group together and knows how to push things, and they're going to go with Matt Canada and let him design a new offense. But I think that I think they're going to emphasize the run game moving forward. I really think that they're going to be like, look, Ben, we've tried this your way of letting you air it out and giving you all the weapons to air it out and letting you pick your guy to call the offense and air it out and get you to air it out. That's just it can't happen anymore. It just can't. He needs to go back to a play action type quarterback. Look, you're big, you're strong, you can still throw the ball far. This isn't the air raid offense. It just ain't going to happen. So I think Canada is the actual OC. They're just waiting to get an offensive line coach in there, and you're going to see a huge emphasis to try to get the run game going next year. All right, we're going to finish answering all the rest of your questions. We still got a bunch to get through here. But we got to take another quick break. When we come back, more questions from you, the listeners. We're going to be starting with Quentin Evans right after this. All right, here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. It's Mailbag Thursday. We're finishing up the mailbag that we started last week, getting to all your questions. If you've left a question, it's about to get answered, unless you dropped like 20, because we try to keep it at one, maybe two at the most, we got to keep it moving. Quentin Evans asks, should we invest our cap to shore up and bring back more offensive or defensive players? I think it's more about the offensive players right now because they need to get a running back. They need to get offensive linemen. But here's the thing is they also need to get depth on defense back. You know, Tyson Alualu is going to be gone. They need another guy to step into that position on the defensive line. They need to get a backup to go with that can run the field a little bit better with Devin Bush. They need to sign Cameron Sutton. They may need to get another cornerback behind him. They may need to get a safety. So, I mean, man, it's tough. I think it's a very 50-50 situation because there's depth needed there, but there's also starters needed on offense, especially at the running back position and on the offensive line. So I lean to offense, but it's really a both situation, Quentin. CJ Rosenkrantz asks, with Colbert year to year, do we really see him starting over at QB and rebuilding in his last year/years? Seems like we should all go out for the we should go all out for the Super Bowl before we see serious changes. I think Colbert is kind of the guy that he's not going to just take a drastic step to take a drastic step. If he sees a realistic thing there that's going to benefit the Steelers long term. I mean, think about some of the moves they made. Like, you know, people felt like, oh, the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade, that was just him being aggressive and win now. I mean, they got a stud that's going to be a leader in their secondary for the next 10 years. As long as they keep him around and they pay him. I still think the Steelers are building for the future as it is right now. And Kevin Colbert, he may not be around for it, but he's doing the best job that he can to be, you know, the good GM that passes on passes on the duties to the next guy with a clean house. And I think there's a lot of respect there to go with that. So I think that Kevin Colbert is more so willing to go whenever he's ready to go. As far as that, it may depend on Ben Roethlisberger. I think if the Steelers win another Super Bowl, he'll roll. But I think part of it is he also sees, not just with Ben, but there's a special group that he's been putting together. He wants to see this defense probably go far, and he wants to be part of it when it finally reaps the rewards. So I think part of this is he'll quit when he feels, or he'll retire when he feels like, you know what, the chances are spent here, I'm ready to move forward. Juan Carlos Rodriguez asks, other than money, why would Ben return next season? The talent level will be lower, the AFC North will be loaded, and the best shot at a championship imploded badly. Because I think Ben thinks he's still got it. I mean, the talent will be lower. We're saying that. I mean, maybe some places. I think Devin Bush being back will be a huge step up for the defense. I think if the offense can get a better center, or even just an average center, that would replace the problems that Pouncey had. I think if they can get an offensive tackle and a running back, I honestly think this team could be better. And I know people are going to say, well, what about Juju and what about Connor? Well, if they get a real number one running back like Chuba Hubbard or Travis Etienne or Najee Harris, I think this team's right in position to compete if they have a ground game. And again, with Juju gone, I still think the reason that he'd be gone is because they're like, look, we got Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, and James Washington under contract. And let's all be real. If they let Juju go, they're probably drafting another receiver in the fourth round. He's probably going to turn into a guy that everyone's loving and talking about by week five next year. And I've got a random soundtrack song, soundtrack item that I play like I did for Mapletron. I don't think that this is as doom and gloom as everyone thinks it is. Again, the Steelers got a lot of young, good talent. TJ Watt's going to be here for a long time. Minkah Fitzpatrick's going to be here for a long time. Devin Bush is going to be here for a long time. You still got Hayward. You still got Tua. And Alex Highsmith looks very good. I think Hayden and Nelson are sticking around. I mean, those are a lot of really good pieces that I just named, and that's just on the defensive side of the ball. Claypool, Johnson, Washington all look promising. I think they need a running back. I think that Kevin Dotson looks good. I think David DeCastro is worth another shot because he was injured going into this season. And, I mean, he wasn't practicing all training camp, and then they didn't really have a training camp. I mean, I wouldn't just throw this group away. I think that this, and again, Kevin Colbert's been building this team consistently for some time because there's a future to be had here even when he's gone. DJ Carter asks, who should we keep next year? Should we let Juju go and pay Bud and hopefully draft or pick up a good running back in free agency? Here's the thing. I don't think they can pay Bud. I don't think there's any amount of money that they can actually pay Bud. I may be wrong, but Bud Dupree had double-digit sacks 2 years ago and had 8 sacks in 10 games this year, and he's an unrestricted free agent. Someone's paying Bud Dupree like $15 million a year. Something along those lines. He's going to get paid. Steelers can't do that. They've got Alex Highsmith. He's a second-year player on a nice little rookie deal. That's what you want to keep it at. And then you can invest in a backup linebacker or a backup edge rusher. You can invest in the offensive line. But if you pay Bud Dupree buku money, you ain't getting no extra line offensive lineman to help you out. And you ain't addressing the depth around your roster either. As for running back, I think that they will, Juju, I think Juju's gone just because they need to invest in other spaces. I don't think they get their running back in free agency. I think they go draft one because they want to see, the future start to build there as well. All right, moving on, Mike Fuocho, sorry if I messed up your name, Mike. He says, with Ben filling 40% of the cap next year, 41 million of the cap next year, do we force retirement like we did with Troy and pay him the $22 million? I don't think so, because I think with Troy was really a sub-package linebacker, if you remember those days. I mean, in 2013, when he was there, he forced the most fumbles of any defensive back. Like, he was still finding ways to be relevant, but they had so many other problems they had to address. And I think they were just like, look, we gotta kind of move on and find other answers at these positions. Ben's not there yet. Ben can still make the throws down the field. And it's a little different because with quarterback, there's no answer coming. I think that they renegotiate with Ben to create more space in the cap space this year, but not getting rid of him. And then he says he asks us if you can if you take someone like Kyle Trask to in the second round. No, I ain't touching Kyle Trask. I ain't touching Mac Jones. No, none of them. At best, fourth round, first, second, third round, unless it's Justin Fields or Trey Lance or maybe Zach Wilson. Unless it's one of those guys fall, I ain't taking none of these quarterbacks. This is not the year to just trade up or sell out to get one. First, second round, offensive line, running back. Either way, whichever order you want it to be in, those to me need to be the top two picks unless someone ridiculous falls to them at that spot. Dave Rickards asks, should we have any hope that Ben has less influence on personnel decisions in probably the last year of his career? I think he will. I think he will have less. Simply because, Tom was like, things need to change and Fietner's gone. If the Steelers were going to just be like, Ben, we'll do it. We'll do this again, man. We'll do this again one more time. See what we got. No, Fietner's gone. That was Ben's guy. I think this is the sign that they're willing to change things going around. Patrick Quibley asks, should I buy a Big Ben jersey next year? With a lot of laughing emojis and crying emojis. You can. My rule is I always like to buy the jerseys of young players who are up and coming and aren't as popular to be worn. And like Tony and I, we do our power rankings of which jerseys to wear or which jerseys to buy every specific year. This year we were talking about Devin Bush and Deontay Johnson and young guys, not necessarily rookies, but young guys who are stepping up and becoming superstars or are the goodbye to have. Say, ooh, that guy knows his Steelers because he has this young up-and-coming one. And then 3 years later when the person's mainstream, you're like, yeah, and I bought this back when they were a second-year player and everyone was overlooking them. So no, I wouldn't buy a Big Ben jersey. My general rule, if I was to ever buy a jersey again, I haven't bought a jersey for myself in 8 years. But if I would, when I got jerseys, if it was a player that's been on the team for a while, my rule was to wait until they were gone for a few years, and then it would be like a throwback, and then that would, bring value to buying the jersey. Moving on, Fred Salazar asks, any truth to the Colbert to Detroit reports? I addressed this last week. No, that's not happened. If the Lions actually did reach out to Colbert, get ready because that means they tampered and that means some draft picks are coming the Steelers' way. So Ryman Bittner asks, hi, Chris, great podcast. Who would be the logical successor of Colbert as GM and what happens if Khan goes too? Thanks for the answer and greetings from Germany, Ray. Ray, appreciate your question all the way from Germany. Appreciate you listening to the show. So people need to understand that Omar Khan is not actually the successor to Kevin Colbert in the Steelers' front office. Omar Khan's seen as more as the guy that does the books. He knows the numbers. He cranks things out. He's the guy that helps them find out how to squeeze different contracts out and do the extensions that make room. And that's great to have. But the key thing for a general manager to have, because you can always have a numbers guy, but a key thing for a general manager has to have is an understanding of what kind of talent the Steelers need. And the guy that is that for them is Brandon Hunt. And who's Brandon Hunt? But he's been the Steelers pro personnel coordinator. And he's been with the team since 2005. He was an intern back then, and he worked his way up the organization the old-fashioned way. He's been with Kevin Colbert since then. He's also a black pro personnel coordinator, so he has the potential to become so if he does it, he'll be a black GM for the Steelers, their first in team history. It's crazy we're saying that as Bill Nunn is being considered for the Hall of Fame, which should absolutely happen. But that would be the move, is that Hunt would go there. I have not heard anything about Hunt leaving for any reason. I get the impression that he is kind of very comfortable with where he goes. So good question, Raymond. Appreciate you asking that. Will Wentrouble asks, what position would you like to see taken in the first round of the draft with Pouncey talking about hanging up? I think it's going to be a best player available thing. If one of those elite running backs is there, especially Etienne, or Harris, I think it should be one of those guys. But if one of those top offensive linemen drops to you, then you got to weigh what's more important and what did you do in free agency. There's not really, you know, anyone in free agency in either position that I'm screaming about right now, but that always can change. Teams cut players all the time, you know, just for, you know, cap reasons or anything else. And what could really happen this year, and I'm prepping y'all for this, free agency could be the wildest ever, because if this number if the salary cap number comes out lower like we expect it to than what it normally is, that means teams are going to have to trim some fat, including the Steelers. And as they trim the fat, some players are going to get let go, and then, you know, the market for what players can make and what players can sign for is going to be an unknown field, and there could be a lot of wild things that happen in this year in free agency, which could make March a lot of fun. So that being said, I really think a playmaker running back would really help this team a lot, but also a stalwart offensive lineman. But again, I think you can get both in the second round. It's just going to depend on where the Steelers see the better position value or the better player value in that position. But running back or offensive line, that those are the top guys. Oliver Williams asks, if Ben retires or is forced to, can we trust Mason Rudolph enough? He played well against the Browns, albeit a small sample size. What's your thoughts on Sam Darnold if the Steelers can get him? I don't think Mason's ready to do it all that. I just don't think he's proven that he is that guy yet. He may deserve a shot. I think he should absolutely be kept around to see if he can get that shot. But I'm not banking on Mason Rudolph saving the day. I'm also not banking on Sam Darnold. I know some people think that he's going to be really good. I'm sorry, the Jets, I mean, that when you come from that, that's damaged goods at the quarterback position. You'd have to invest in him because he'd be a younger quarterback coming off his rookie contract. You know, if he was willing to take a cheap contract and see what happens, maybe. But I would not be willing to sign Sam Darnold to a 4 or 5 year deal and bank on that and then be stuck with him if he continues to stink. I'm also just not a USC quarterback guy, so that's not my thing. The one quarterback that I'd be okay with the Steelers trading for is Deshaun Watson, and that would cost a lot of draft capital or capital period for the Steelers to make the move. This is why I'm not feeling that there. But I do think Mason could he's earned at least the chance to show that he can do more. That's where I'm at with Mason Rudolph. Pierce Smith asks, could you just give a breakdown on those three UFAs, Dupree, Juju, and Hilton, as far as which one will realistically stay? I can't imagine all three will walk, right? Pierce, I hate to break it to you, but I do think all three will walk. Bud Dupree, again, commands way too much money. Juju, he can get a lot of money in free agency, and the team needs to invest in the running game. I really think that's going to be the emphasis here. And Hilton, it's going to be tough for them to pay Hilton and Sutton, especially with their cap restrictions. And Sutton, to me, is more important because he can play outside corner and slot corner, and he can help up in the line of scrimmage. Not as well as Mike Hilton in that respect, but he's better in coverage, both in the slot and outside the numbers. I think Hilton's more opportunistic when the ball's thrown to him, but the problem is, for me, Sutton matches up better with most players in coverage. That's what you got to invest in right now. Unfortunately, I think all three of those guys are gone this year. That's not a slight to any of them. Bud Dupree's a heck of an edge rusher. I've said it before, most people did, that he was developing. And when he was delivering and people were starting to love him, I was looking around like, yeah, where you guys been? Juju, I think he gets blamed for way too many things that really don't impact games. And Mike Hilton, I've been singing his praises since he showed up in 2017 and was screaming, I'm too small, every time he made a play. You know, I think all of them are heck of a players, and they've been very good to, you know, just Steeler Nation, and they've been very good Steelers, but they got to figure something out. Justin Comp asks, who can the Steelers extend or cut to help with the cap? I can think of a few, but I want a realistic point of view. Justin, I've kind of answered this before, but Ben, you know, extend, move money around, Pouncey, cut. Nelson, Hayden, find a way to extend their money, maybe DeCastro, maybe Tuitt. You know, get rid of Vance McDonald. I think you do all that, you're going to have enough cap space to make some moves. Mark Wilson asks, if not for COVID-19, would the Ravens have swept the Steelers and left us possibly out of the playoffs with an even saltier taste in our mouths right now? I don't get your point here. I think if COVID-19 doesn't happen, right, the Steelers get their bye week in the middle of the season, the Ravens aren't coming off a bye. The Ravens were handed a huge advantage because of COVID-19 in the middle of the season. Yes, later in the season, the Steelers won while the Ravens were out, you know, missing guys for COVID. But earlier in the season, the Ravens had Lamar Jackson. The Ravens were good to go, and they had the game in Baltimore coming off a bye week. Well, the Steelers are coming off a really tough road win and no bye week at all during the season, and the Steelers won in their house, I don't get what you're asking here, Mark. That they're fine. I think that the Steelers are fine, and I don't think the Ravens would have swept them with or without COVID-19. I think without COVID-19, the Steelers get a proper bye week, and they probably plan for the season a little bit better. And who knows? Maybe they do a little bit better. Maybe there's less pressure on them to do stuff, and you know, maybe less guys get injured because they had a normal training season instead of the weird training camp that was that year. Okay, John Burkholder says, can someone please explain to me what Corvette means? John Noah answered for you underneath, but Corvette is just a song. It's popular on TikTok, and there's a dance that goes with the song. There's lots of different TikTok, quote-unquote, dances and challenges and all sorts of things that go on TikTok. It's just pop culture right now. Just if you want to see what that world is, download TikTok and see all the videos. There's a lot of them. Anyways, moving on. Andrew Tate asks, pick coaching staffs for the Pro Bowls, for the Pro Bowl, and have the coaching staffs compete in a 3-man tag of HC head coach, offensive and defensive coordinator at the Pro Bowl to spice things up. Challenge. And then as a high school rugby player, rugby has a rule. Come on, Andrew, make these shorter questions. We're gonna skip the first one. I don't understand picking the all-star Pro Bowl staff. If I was to say Pro Bowl, I guess Robert Saleh, defensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, offensive coordinator, and Bill Belichick, head coach. I don't know. As a high school rugby player, rugby has a rule: when there is a penalty that directly prevents the score, the referee always awards a penalty try, and it is treated as though the score happened. How do you think that could translate to football? One thing is rugby has a better video review system, so football would need to sort that out before this came in. Okay, so I think I get what you're asking here, Andrew. You're asking if there should be a penalty try. Penalty tries kind of don't work in football because, you know, with rugby, with hockey, with soccer, with all those other things, you know, it's one-on-one. It's mano-a-mano. You don't get one-on-one with football. No, I don't think that will work. They already have a rule like that. If you do a penalty from the sideline, like if a player can't frame it from the sidelines and trip the player running for a touchdown, like how the Ravens accused Mike Tomlin of doing that, and they didn't, and he didn't do that. If that actually happens, it's an automatic touchdown. Like, there's no benefit to tripping a player if you're not in the field of play. But with pass interference, no. I think the rule is right. You got to get in the end zone. I think that the rules are fine there. That's not a bad thing at all. Patrick Witt asks, how soon do you expect the team to hire an offensive line coach, veteran or young? I think we'll see it soon. I'd say in the next 2 weeks or so. The thing is they'll want to get this offensive line coach to help with looking into who they want to bring in for the offensive line, or jettison for the offensive line. Like, who do they want to work with? You know, who do they go after in free agency? Who do they try to keep for long term? Who do they try to target in the draft? All those type of things an offensive line coach would be part of the conversations. So I do think it's coming, and I do think it will be a vet coach. You know, especially if they go with Matt Canada, if you go with a young OC, you want some veterans around him to help him out. Quentin Evans, you asked a question, Quentin Evans. He said, any chance Bud takes slightly less to pay in Pittsburgh? I mean, maybe, but I think Bud, he gets his payday. He's hung around long enough. He wants his big payday. Our last question goes to John Fletcher. Who is your all-time favorite Steelers player and non-Steelers player? All-time favorite Steelers player, Polamalu. Just spectacular, best safety I've ever seen in my life. All the crazy, ridiculous plays. Hines Ward would be a very close second because you loved his tenacity and what he brought to the team and what he symbolized for what it meant to be a Steeler. Also, what's my go-to beer? I'm big on local beer here in Pittsburgh. I'm big on taking things here, and I live in Homewood, and in Homewood, I'm within walking distance of two breweries. Now, if you know me, I love me some Mike's Beer Bar on the North Shore of Pittsburgh. Do get there. They have over 500 beers. I think at least 90 of them are local taps from, beer here in Pittsburgh. Also, for those who don't know, if you ever do visit Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh has exploded in craft beer and lots of microbreweries around here. So if you ever wanted to just try all sorts of beer, it is here. We are the capital, and I think there's a beer museum actually getting built in Pittsburgh. But to answer your question, I got two beers that are usually my go-to. I mean, I got so many different beers. That's the thing, man. I have a wide ranging palate. Like I can go for a stout 1 minute and an IPA the next. My favorites are IPAs. I love the Big Hop from East End Brewing Company, but they have this new one called the East Hills. They have this series where they have beers named after neighborhoods here in Pittsburgh, and this East Hills one is like a margarita if it was a beer, and it just speaks to me. And I've had several of these cans. I love them. That is a go-to beer for me right now. If you love to try different types of things, definitely go get yourself an East Hills from East End Brewing Company. They have a tap room, I think, in the Strip District, but their warehouse where their base is located is right in Homewood off of Frankstown Boulevard. I think it's Julius Street, which is like the side street that it's connected to. But it's like 2 minutes from my house. I've literally walked to it a dozen times in the past day. I'm just kidding. But no, seriously, those are two good beers. Do check out East End Brewing Company. Or if you want to try out all the different beers, go to Mike's Beer Bar on the North Shore or right across the street from PNC Park where the Pirates play. They got all the beers in the world to try. And you talk to Mike there. You really talk to anyone that works there. They will help you through the beer menu and find things you like. You'll be able to sample things to figure out what your beer palate is. It's a good question, John. Someday I need to just talk about beer and drinks that I like, because apparently y'all like it when I do shots on the show. All right. Those are all the questions for the mailbag. Thank you so much for all those who left questions. Appreciate all of you guys. You guys rode at dawn, as I say here in the Locked On Steelers podcast. We ride at dawn. Really appreciate you all. Going to call it a show here. Thanks again for listening. As always, subscribe to the Locked On Steelers podcast. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are hosted. If you want to help out the show, please leave a 5-star review with a positive comment on Apple Podcasts. Doing so gives you a shout out at the end of the show for what you said. Thanks so much again to all those who do that. If you want to follow me, I'm on Twitter at Carter Critiques. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. Also, at Carter Critiques on Instagram. You can read my work at dkpittsburghsports.com. I wrote a big piece on Cameron Sutton and why he has to be a huge priority for the Steelers in this free agency period. You can read that there, dkpittsburghsports.com. Subscribe to us. We cover the Steelers, the Pirates, the Penguins. Also, I cover the University of Pittsburgh for them right now. The Pitt basketball team is playing really well, so that's actually a lot of fun to cover on top of all my Steelers stuff. So check us out. Thanks so much for listening. Be back in your ears tomorrow with Jenna Harner of Channel 11 at WPXI.